Hello, and welcome to Only Mr. God Knows, episode one, I guess. This is Only Mr. God Knows for 2024. Do not watch the Eurovision. Yeah, getting that out of the way, because you're not meant to. And that's what we're doing. So, for people who don't know, weren't listening to Cornish Bailey last year, let's put it to you fairly simply. This is the mini-series that I do on the lead-up to Eurovision. Last year, I was able to do it, you know, last year and the year before, I was able to do it, you know, without really any caveats added to it. Usually, we here at Cornish Bailey will do alternate commentary over the competition. Now, obviously, Cornish Bailey started in 2019. Eurovision was being boycotted that year because it was being hosted in Israel. And we didn't do anything for it that year, because I didn't watch it, boycott was taking place, I helped with some of the campaigns in really minor ways, but I'm still very proud of that, and yeah, that's what was happening. Again, this year, a boycott has been called by BDS, Boycott Day Events with Sanctions, so yeah, it's not happening this year, and that's fine, you know, because what we're going to do instead is, on the 11th of May, 8 o'clock in Berlin, Neukölln, event descriptions in the details. There's still a couple of tickets left as of recording. We are doing our Eurovision, a completely alternative show where we are not watching the Eurovision. I have downloaded all the music videos in a way that doesn't give any of the evil YouTube channels money. And we will be watching them ourselves. Everyone who comes to the live show will act as a jury, and everyone who's watching on twitch.tv/CornishBaity will act as a televote. That is how it's working. Tickets, bar sales, everything that happens in the night is going to medical aid Palestine. Yeah. And obviously, we're not including the Israeli or Azerbaijan song in our you know, we get to run things, your version of Eurovision. But yeah. In normal years, I usually just do this run-up to the Eurovision event, kind of giving my analysis, have interviews with people. It's a bit of fun, and I like doing it. So what we're doing instead is, well, we're basically doing that again with the caveat of do not watch the Eurovision. To that point, there is a document in the description that is made by myself that acts as a list of links for various songs that allows you to watch them in boycott-friendly manners. They're either watching the music video or live performance on the artist's individual YouTube channel, or it's using Invidious, the privacy-friendly version of YouTube that doesn't give any views to the channel it's mirroring and allows you to kind of like stay privacy-free, but also does not give any money towards the YouTube channels that you are watching. So yeah, there you go. That's how we're doing this. Let's get some basics out of the way. Eurovision, big song contest, original song contest that happens in Europe every year, around this time of year, usually in May. And it's been going since the 50s, and here we are, and it's being hosted in Malmo in Sweden this year. And what else can we say about it? Yeah, there's two semi-finals to whittle down the songs, and then there is a final with 26 participants. And six of those participants automatically are qualified. Those are the big five plus the host country, because these are the countries that are putting the most money into the competition, so they get to go to the final. That's a blessing and a curse. And the semi-finals take around 15 or 16 songs and whittle them down to 10. You're more likely to get through to a semifinal. Keeping up the change from last year, which is the semifinals are televote only, but the final will be a 50-50 split between televote and jury. Juries are made up of industry professionals from each participating country. A jury cannot score its own, a national jury cannot score its own entry's song, and you, if you're in Cyprus, cannot vote for your own country's song. Like, someone in Cyprus cannot vote for Cyprus in the televote. That is basically how it works. The Other thing I will say is I will come back to my TMTMTM patented theory of explaining Eurovision, which is the fuckable grandson. And the fuckable grandson, simply put, is trying to understand the contradiction that exists within the Eurovision audience. There is basically two types of people. There's basically two types of people watching at home, and these two audiences are quite different, I should say, or at least, you know, a little bit different. And the one side of the audience, which I call the fuckable audience, is really into spectacle, really into the kind of like big show, maybe kind of has like an ironic or semi-ironic love or attachment to the Eurovision, whereas the grandson wing are maybe those who have more of a classical understanding of Eurovision, probably lean a bit more conservative in terms of their music. They're really interested in maybe the ballads and the you know, the songs that reach the high notes and things like this. But maybe still, you know, go on the occasional rant about, like, you know, Armenia's not even in Europe or something, or like or it was better when there was a live orchestra, etc., etc. And the other way of thinking of these two audiences is, for the grandson wing, they're watching the Eurovision because there's probably nothing better for them to do. This dominates TV on national broadcasters for kind of one night. It's a big deal in some countries. And, you know, maybe they're older. And then the fuckable wing, the plan on Saturday the 11th of May is to watch Eurovision. Or would be if you weren't boycotting it. You know, that's kind of the division of the audience there, right? So, yeah, that's just, and my theory is basically, to win Eurovision, you have to produce something that appeals to both of these audiences, or you will have a better time if you do. And this is my fuckable grandson theory, because the first thought that I had when thinking of these two contradictions is, well, what appeals is the fuckable grandson. And, you know, we can look for some good fuckable grandsons in a literal sense, but we can also find the songs that meet these you know, meet these audiences with what they want, what they expect. Yeah, so without further ado, let's get into the different semifinals. So, semifinal one this year, now just to get my paper notes in my lovely NATO gift shop notebook, you know, if you're listening. The person who got me this, you know who you are. So, now, Eurovision 2024, we have semi-final one. To explain the semi-finals a little bit, only the countries participating can vote in this semi-final, as well as half of the big six who are automatically through, three of the six. So, for this semi-final, we have all the countries participating, and the UK, Germany, and Sweden are allowed vote from home for this, because semifinals are only televote. One change that the Eurovision has made this year, which obviously I will not watch, I will not witness, but is that they are going to let those three countries, the UK, Germany, and Sweden, perform throughout the night. Yeah, so that might put to bed a myth around why the big five, the five of the six who automatically always get put through to the end, don't do so well. The UK, Germany, and Spain are kind of like historically not done well. One of the explanations for this is that for real heads, they haven't seen them when it comes to the final. They hadn't seen them two nights previous. You know, they hadn't had a little bit of a build-up of seeing them perform live once and getting accustomed to the song or it becoming an earworm, etc., etc. I never really put a lot of stock in this theory. I think usually why countries like the UK, Spain, or Germany come last or close to last probably is a combination of... is like definitely down to the quality of the stuff they've sent, although Spain and the UK kind of look like they're improving, you know, baby steps, but still... And is more explained by the fact that, like, there was probably a song that was worse than this, but it was just weeded out in the semifinals beforehand. So on the night, on the final, on the show that like everyone watches, you are going to come last. Or like the odds of you coming last are higher because you got given the like training wheels of automatically going to the final. And while we're on this topic, another big change they've made to the Eurovision voting rules this year is that the televote will start the moment the first song starts playing. I don't know how to feel about this. So it used to be, for anyone who doesn't know, the televote would only begin after all songs had played. There would be like this kind of like halftime show type thing. You know, they'd do a sketch or a drag show or like a performance from a past participant, blah, blah, blah. There was lots of things they could do while televotes were being gathered and counted. They would give you a narrow window in which the classic line of Europe, start voting now. I'm actually going to miss that line. I like that line. It's a bit nostalgic. But now they're going to do it. So as soon as the songs start performing, you can vote. The rationale behind this from the EBU is to try and make the show a bit tighter and kind of do away with the long run times, because the long run times, one of the factors of that is counting the votes and getting them ready. I'm kind of curious how, I don't know how I feel about it. It at times it doesn't feel very sporting to me, because like if you come last in the lineup, it means that you technically have the least amount of time to gather votes. We'll see. I'm going to be checking in on the like real nerds about the possible effects of this on the televote, if any. I'd be very curious to see. But I'm kind of mixed on it as a concept at the moment. But anyway, getting to the issue at hand. Semifinal one is a really competitive semifinal. So one of the big differences between this year and last year is that last year had very clear winners. It was pretty much established by like March that the competition was going to be between Loreen's Tattoo and Carrie's Cha Cha Cha. Like we knew this from pretty early on, that it was between these two songs. No one else had a fucking chance. This year, I would say there's like four songs that feel like they could win. And I will get to that. There's probably more that I'm not thinking of. So I'm not willing to call semifinal one a bloodbath, but it's competitive in the sense that I think it's pretty clear who's going to make it through and who isn't. So let's get into it. So I'm going to be presenting the songs to you in running order. I'll mention it on a more main episode, but if you are not seeing any of the Only Mr. God Knows episodes, it's probably because I play copyrighted audio and you might be listening to this podcast on YouTube. We do have our podcast on YouTube. Some people prefer to listen to it that way. And if that's you, I'm sorry. This is what's happening. These might get taken down or copyright stricken or whatever. So like, just, I'll mention it on the main episode. If you're not seeing these, you might need to switch to a different podcast player. So first in the running order, we have Cyprus with Cilia Kapsis, song Liar. So let's hear a little bit of that now. Take a look at yourself, cause that is what you need. Do, cause the only problem in this room is about you, cause you're a liar. There we go. You get it. So this is a classic of the Fuckable Wing, which is the girly bop. We love the Fuckable Wing, myself included, loves the girly bop. And I think this is, I'm gonna say pretty confidently, this is getting into the final. I think we're going to see Cyprus in the actual final, not in the semi, or not kicked out at this point, probably just because the songs that are definitely not making it through in this round are very clear. This is kind of mid-tier. I don't think it's going to do very well in the final, but it's going to get into the final. I think it's a bit of fun. Weird things about it is Cilia Kapsis is like 16. It's the youngest you can be as a Eurovision participant. And yeah, the song Liar, which is very clearly about like a lying shitbag kind of guy, very weird to hear a 16-year-old perform that. Also, I would say that Cyprus historically has been a big fan of sending legs to Eurovision. They usually are typically the ones who send the like very attractive, very conventionally attractive woman. And I'm kind of curious to see how they... do I trust them to send a 16-year-old? I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. Oh, man. Anyway, this leads us to our next next on the night, which is Serbia, which is Teodora singing Ramonda. All right, you get the idea. So this is one of our ballads of the evening, and Ramunda, I believe, refers to a flower in Serbian, one that is like hard to come by. The song is about finding hope in a desolate place, kind of thing. You know, she's in this hard place and then she sees the flower. That's my understanding of the song. It isn't Serbian. So my understanding is limited. Yeah, so I would say pretty good. This is probably of the kind of like ballady, slower and epic songs. This is one of the stronger competitors. And one of the reasons why this semi-final is pretty competitive, because in terms of like when you talk Eurovision and types of songs, it's usually that like they compete in these categories, like this idea that everyone wants the girly bop, everyone wants the like semi-ironic club banger kind of thing. Like, it's not so much that, or even like the metal song. I talked about this with the metal theory of Eurovision before, where it's not really that. And it's more that you can't, it's very difficult for two songs to occupy the same kind of niche, the same space, the same genre. A good ballad and a good, powerful, epic song like this in a semifinal will kind of push the other less well-performing ballads out, if you get my meaning. So yeah, just letting you know. I think this is pretty confidently going in to the final. It'll probably do all right within the final, but yeah. Next on the night, we have Lithuania with Sylvester Belt's Luktek. Tebe pažįsti mane, saulė nepakyla, pasakyk, ar liksi šalia. Luktel, luktel, dar vieną minutę. Luktel, 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 dar vieną minutę. Luktel. Yeah, this is, what can I say about this? It's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good showing from Lithuania. For anyone who doesn't know, the Baltics actually take this competition quite seriously. And Lithuania has done a good job this year, I think. It's got a bit of drama. The staging is quite good. Yeah, I think this could do very well. I feel like this is definitely going through. Also from my kind of like observances of, you know, Eurovision audience on social media, Lithuania has shooters, you know? the VOD, I think, is still up of us reacting in, like, 2021 to the Eurovision, where, like, Malta was this, like, Bucky's favorite, and then, like, she ate shit. And I remember yelling at the top of my lungs, the video's still there, is like, you were always a paper tiger, you were nothing, this was never going to happen for you, because I was always super skeptical of this. And one of the reasons I determined this is, like, scouring social media and seeing, like, who in the fan spaces actually has, like, stands, shooters, whatever you want to call it, like, defenders, people who really like this song. And just to kind of, like, you know, put a little skepticism on some of the hype generated by some of the songs, but, like, Luchtelk by Sylvester Belt is not one of them. He's generated enough hype, and I think we're probably looking at, like, second or third within the semifinal. Obviously, you don't get the results, the actual results, for the semifinals until after the competition. You just get told who makes it through and who didn't. But I would say probably second or third. I think the song has done quite well with a lot of different people. Next on the lineup, we have, you know, my very own Ireland with Bambi Thug. So, yeah, Bambi Thug with their song Doomsday Blues. Or Doomsday Blue, I should say. Okay, so for the first time in a long time, I actually paid attention to Eurosong this year, which is our national selection process. And within the Eurovision community, it's kind of known as the worst national selection process. Do not do it this way, is basically the vibe of Eurosong. The short and sweet of it is that there's two cardinal rules, or like two big points of objection with how this is done, which is it's done, Eurosong commandeers the Late Late Show for one Friday. The Late Late Show is a kind of variety show, magazine show in Ireland that happens late at night every Friday. And it's an institution of the national broadcaster of RTE. People don't think that's a smart idea of just, like, taking over an existing show, because, you know, there's lots of, you know, problems with doing that. It's shot in a, you know, a soundstage in Dublin that is designed for a chat show. This year, for example, they had Kalush Orchestra singing Stefania, the song that won in 2022. They are good performers, and it's a pretty good song, but, like, the audio setup and the stage does not do it justice. It's not the correct venue to display, like, music, especially of varying genres. And we certainly felt that with some of the, like, not pop songs that were displayed at Eurosong. The other issue that people have with it is that they do judges, right? They have, like, a panel of, like, 3 to 4 people sitting there giving their thoughts about the songs. This is a staple of things like X Factor or American Idol. But is not something that occurs in Eurovision. It's actually considered incredibly bad sport for Eurovision national finals to have this. You have, like, a host who, like, introduces the song, and then the idea is they kind of let the audience or the jury or both kind of, like, make up their own minds and don't put your thumb on the scales. They did this year, and they did put the thumb on the scales, I think, in the right direction, personally. But, you know, it's still not a great thing. So basically, the conversation in Ireland is we need to stop sending boring, predictable pop shite. And we met that brief, I think. Bambi Thug was my second choice. If anyone was paying attention to me on Twitter, I was rooting for Ailsa's Good Tubbin, the song that kind of reminded me of, like, a late era Mindless Self-Indulgence song that was about not being able to speak the Irish language anymore. If anyone doesn't know, Gatubbin means suddenly, and it's kind of a phrase that would be implemented a lot in like school Irish because it allows you to like suddenly change a story. Like you get a question that's like, right about a time that you and your friends went to the cinema, and it's like, oh shit, I don't know any of the vocab for going to the cinema, so halfway through the story I'm gonna go, Gatubbin, my friend was hit by an ambulance, because I know all the hospital vocab, so I can talk about someone going to the hospital. It was kind of like a hack nonsense thing. It was a good song. I thought it would have been pretty cool to send that to Eurovision. I liked the idea of getting a bunch of continentals to shout a bunch of like Irish. That would have been fun. But Bambi Thug was definitely my second choice. It beat out the Ilse came second. Bambi Thug came first and beat out the kind of like more generic pop stuff that we had been suggesting, as well as like an interesting rap song that we also put forward. But like the rap, Gatubbin, Doomsday's Blues, the actual live performances on this national selection were absolute shite. And it's unfortunate. The big goal for Ireland this year is what we would consider a win, is to get into the final. We've had a pretty bad streak. Within the last 10 competitions, which is not the same as the last 10 years because it wasn't on for 2020, but within the last 11 years, the last 10 competitions, Ireland has only come into the final once. And I think that puts us pretty close to the bottom of the league table in terms of like qualifying streaks. So we want something that qualifies, and we've also and everyone's kind of recognized we need to send something different, which and attention grabbing, which I think all credit to themselves, Bambi Thug, this is definitely the song for that. Yeah, so pretty excited to see that. I would also put this in confidently making it to the semifinal. Going back to this conversation about like dominating a space with kind of like a song that and you really you're like in competition with other songs similar to you, Bambi Thug has the added benefit of like in the entire competition, never mind the semifinal, there is no song similar to Doomsday Blue. So I think this will do quite well, at least within the semifinal. It's a pretty competitive year, so I'm not seeing like a path to winning. And also the juries in the final are probably not going to like this based on historical trends of the juries. But yeah. So yeah. Also should be saying, if you've been noticing, I've been referring to Bambi Thug as best as I can as they, them, because they are non-binary. This would make Bambi Thug the first non-binary participant of Eurovision, or at least, you know, out non-binary. Which is pretty cool. There is another non-binary participant this year, which is Switzerland, but our song was picked and announced first before them, so Ireland, we're counting this first non-binary participant in Eurovision, if nothing else, and then that's pretty fucking cool. But yes, okay, enough of that. Next in the evening, we have Ukraine. So this is Alyona Alyona and Jerry Heil with their song Teresa and Maria, sung in Ukrainian. It's pretty nice. So what I would say for this song is that it will do quite well, I think. I think if I hadn't done my research, I would think this is a paper tiger. I think this was a kind of like overhyped song that was not going to do well. I don't think that anymore after doing a little bit of research, because I have encountered the people who genuinely like this song and really are really, really sounding it. I don't get it. Some other friends of mine who are also into Eurovision and some other listeners of the show have also said, I don't really get it. But people really, really like this. Also, we're pointing out that Ukraine is, even before the invasion, whatever you want to say about like sympathy votes, blah, 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 is a powerhouse when it comes to Eurovision. They have been in the competition since just before the semifinal system was introduced, and they are the only country that has qualified for every semifinal. Not even Australia has done that within the like last, what, 6-7 years of being in this competition. So yeah, just putting that out there, they are usually quite good. Take this quite seriously. Something that I learned actually from doing my research this year that I did not know, I think it only started this year, but it's worth pointing out, is that Ukraine votes for their national selection, for their like choosing who they're going to send. They vote for that via an app called Dia. And Dia is the like Ukrainian, it's the closest, it's not really an everything app. It's a government bureaucracy app. It's the app in which you like, you know, apply to the government for like child benefit or like unemployment, blah, blah, blah. It's the thing that handles bureaucracy, like between a person and, you know, the government. And it's also the app that you use for vote for national selection for Eurovision, which is, you know, it kind of gives you the indication of like how present and seriously Ukraine takes this competition. So yeah, I feel pretty confident this is going to qualify to the final. I'm not sure how it's actually going to do in the night, because ever since the invasion, I want to say that like the bookies have overblown the success of Ukraine. So we're pointing out that like Ukraine is currently like, I believe, third in the overall odds, and they were also third last year, but I think came closer to like actually eighth in the competition. I think the phenomenon of sympathy votes has been overhyped to the point that it is affecting bookies. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good song. I think it will qualify. I think it will do quite well in the night. Not based on the other songs available this year, I don't quite see the path to victory for this song. Next on the night, we have Poland, and Poland has sent a song called "The Tower," by an artist called Luna. So let's hear a little bit of that now. Yeah, so that's the song. Not really much to say about this. For me, this is very mid. And at the moment, you know, you ask me, I would say this song is going to qualify. But if it didn't, I wouldn't be surprised. This is definitely on the lower end of songs that I feel like are going to qualify. It could be staging. Music video is a little bit of fun. But like, I think to really elevate the song, you would need to see something cool on stage. Which I won't, because I'm boycotting. And neither will you, because you're also boycotting. But all we can do is spectator sport at this moment. Yeah, I think we'll qualify, just because I think there's other, like, worse songs. But, yeah, that's where we are. Next on the night is a big one. And that is Croatia with Baby Lasagna's Rim Tim Taggy Dim. So this song was one of the earlier songs to be kind of like, not really be announced. Where do I start with this, actually? Okay, so Croatia has a national selection competition called DORA. And DORA has some problems, has some technical limitations and stuff like that. But actually, for people who are, you know, pessimistic about Ireland's ability to participate in the Eurovision, I really, really, really want you to check out DORA, because Croatia is such a good comparison country for everything Ireland does. Because Ireland is fair to say, significantly richer than Croatia. But beyond that, we have basically the exact same population. The Republic of Ireland and Croatia have basically the exact same population. Croatia still has like these scars from the Yugoslav wars, which you maybe could compare to the Troubles, but I don't think that's a fair comparison. And all the other like limitations, but like they are able to put on such a better show. And they have done for a while because they've started to take this competition seriously. People are getting excited for it, but they put on a much, much better national selection show. Ireland could do the same. Okay, but so Dora happens, and Dora, I think, picks something like somewhere between 12 and 8 songs from like a list. The list is like paired, like entrants. There's people who submit. They're looked at like a kind of like a jury who like pair them down to like 10 songs. If a national selection does this well, they try to give like a variety of genres and themes. And then it's put into a competition where, you know, it's like televote and jury and there's live performances, blah, blah, blah. And what happened was one of the 10 people, I think it was 10, one of the people who was in that short, like in that actual like shortlist dropped out. Personal reasons. I'm sure that's gone into the press in some way, but like she dropped out. And then they had to turn to their reserve list. And first on the reserve list was this Croatian guy who submitted a song that was going to be on his first album that he submitted for this. His name is Babe Lasagna. He is a Croatian who now lives, I believe, more or less full-time in Austria. And he submitted the song Rim Tim Taggy Dim. And he, according to the stories, he'd forgotten he did this. But then he was selected, put into the show. This became a blowaway hit. Like, on the final, he got more votes than everyone else combined. It was very, very, very clear from the point in which the song had been announced that Babe Lasagna was going to win. So that's what I mean when, like, this was one of the early ones to announce. Because it wasn't really, actually. This was just, like, the shortlist for Dora came out with Babe Lasagna added, and everyone just really vibed with Babe Lasagna so much that it was just like considered a given it was going to be sent to the Eurovision. Yeah, so it was, and people got a little bit angry, and actually Croatia be like, why the fuck was this on the reserve list? This should have been on the short list. This should have been one of the actual people to participate in Dora. And and people in Croatia have really vibed with this song. I think the song will do quite well because if you haven't checked it out in your own time, the song is in English, but the song is about leaving home with kind of like talks about either, it alludes to both things of like, both concepts of going from the countryside to a big city or going from one country to another, which is huge for Croatia because Croatia has, I believe, the largest or second largest per capita amount of people who emigrate within the EU. I think, I can't remember if it's Romania first or Romania second. But like, and it's a feeling that a lot of like countries, a lot of people will, you know, vibe with. So not only do you think, not only is this song going to appeal to like all the Croatians living in like probably like Germany and Austria, I believe Austria is a big like location for Croatians to emigrate to, and the UK and stuff like that, you'd also probably get every other Eastern European or every other Irish person who has done that. The song is also just very fun and has this kind of like chugging guitar, little bit of electronic stuff going on, a little bit of this with the Rim Tim Taggy Dim, a little bit of this kind of like cultural connection. Like the music video is also very kind of like a celebration of like, I want to say Slavonia, like the interior part of Croatia. And yeah, it's just, it's a very, very, very fun song. This is, when I said one of the four songs that has contention, like has an X factor here, like chance of winning, it's this one. This is one of them. This is going to be huge with televote, I think. There's also a little bit of a Cinderella story in the fact that this would be Croatia's first win, if it does win. Croatia has, under the name of Yugoslavia, a Croatian band has won before, but like this would be the first time independent Croatia has won. Other thing I should say is that one of the phenomenons that happens after a successful Eurovision is that you usually get the people who copy what won last year. As we're pointing out, no one's really copying Loreen's Tattoo. the things that happened in recent years that are big, I'd say big contenders, I'm just going to talk about the one, which is basically Caria, Finland, right? The thing that won the televote last year, Cha-Cha-Cha by Caria. And Caria has also gone around giving his, like, going around like some sort of Eurovision godfather to, like, weird, energetic, fun Eurovision, like, weird is probably the right word. And he's given his blessing to three musicians this year, and one of them is Babe Lasagna. So he's got the big old seal of approval from Caria. Yeah. And there's other... we could also say this is kind of like in the same spirit as Cha-Cha-Cha. I think there's another song that is also kind of like vibing with Cha-Cha-Cha's, like, you know, oeuvre. But yeah. Yeah, that's what we have. So that's the first half of semifinal one. Second half of semifinal... semifinal one opens with... opens with Iceland, Hera Björk, Scared of Heights. We're going to start with Iceland this year. Okay, so straight off the bat, this is a dud. This is not going to do well. This is not making it through. This is the first song of my rundown that I'm saying no chance. Not at all. No. Absolutely no. Not making it through the semifinal. Which is a real shame, because we had a song last year, we had a song, and this came, oh geez, okay, so we had a song in Iceland's national final that ultimately came second, that all the bookies was like, this is definitely winning, and with that assumption, all the bookies were saying, like, Iceland has a real chance of winning the Eurovision, and coming third. That song was Wild West by Bashar Murad. If you've listened to episode 0, I featured that song quite heavily. That song was done by Bashar Murad, who is a Palestinian Icelandic person, and it is a song about coming to the Wild Wild West, you know, the best place to do business kind of thing. Like, he's talking about leaving this, you know, troubled part of the world that he's from, to put it lightly, to somewhere where maybe he's more safe and, you know, capitalistic order and stuff takes precedent. But there's also a lot of imagery in that music video of, like, bullets and, like, an evil version of Bashar Murad, or, like, you know, in this kind of, like, cowboy sense of, like, the cowboy in white, the cowboy in black kind of thing. That's very hinting at, like, you know, I need to be here in the, quote, West, but, like, in the context of Israel-Palestine, oh boy, is the West fucking evil. Super, super interesting song. Would have done really, really well in Eurovision. I know some people were kind of down on that song, but it is, like, miles, miles better than this fucking dated, dated, dated nonsense. Yeah. I would have, like... yeah. Just, I'm going to leave it at that. It's a real shame that didn't happen. I think people maybe over, like, thought it was going to be, like, purely a Palestinian sympathy vote, and I'm sure that would have been a factor, but, like, it was a good song. It was an interesting song. It's a damn fucking shame that we get this, like, the soundtrack to the most conservative, transphobic British woman you have ever met in her 50s. What the song kind of reminds me of. I'm sure Hera Björk is fine and is a lovely person. Like, I'm sure she's wonderful. But God, the song is so fucking dated. Oh, what a shame. Okay, next we have another song. We have Slovenia, Raven, with their song Veronica. So yeah, there you go. And this was a very early song to kind of be come out. I'm skeptical about whether it will qualify. I think we're looking at something that like might make it in, might not. It's straddling that line of like, if it comes in, if it does actually qualify, I think it might like become like, it'll be 9th or 10th. It might come 11th. I think it's going to just not make it if it doesn't make it. I think it's interesting. The song Veronica is in reference to, I believe, a witch that was burnt in Slovenia. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got a spooky vibe. I think it could be fun. But it's a bit of a type competition, you know, so maybe it doesn't work out. Not much to say beyond that. I think it's all right. Next, we have Finland with Windows 95 Man, No Rules. So just get that. No rules, it's how I live, how I find the wind beneath my wings. It's how I learn to fly. Come on, no rules. Be the key to the night, be the thrill of the fight. I don't even care what's wrong with my life. It's how I live my life. No rules. So yeah. This is a fun song. There's a lot of stuff going on stage. Finland takes their national selection very seriously, so we kind of like know what things are going to look like at the final, because you can just look at the UMK final and yeah, see what it looks like basically. It's very tongue-in-cheek, very much referencing kind of like a I would say it, with the name suggests, very kind of like 90s Eurodance kind of vibe. There's a little bit of like, the song opens with like, hello, I'm Windows 95 Man, in a very kind of like, ooh, you touch my tra-la-la kind of reference to that kind of era of like Eurodance. This is another one of the songs that has gotten the blessing of Caria, because, well, it's Finland's selection, and it is fun. And there was questions about whether this guy could be called Windows 95 Man legally. I believe that has been settled. But his getup is he wears denim cut-off shorts and a crop top of like the Windows 95 logo on his white t-shirt. If you ever check the links below of watching that at all, it's some like, depending on which channel you're watching it on, if you watch the like mirror on NVIDIA's of the Eurovision official channel, it's pixelated out. So yeah, not much to say about it. I'm personally not vibing with this too much myself. But it's pretty cool. It'll be pretty fun. I don't think we'll do well in the final, but it's definitely making it to the final. So yeah. Then next we have, if I can find it, Jesus. Yeah, okay. Next we have Natalia Barbu with the song In the Middle, representing Moldova. I'm not going to be too mean, because this is probably like one of, every Eurovision season when all the songs start coming out and all the national finals are happening, people in the Eurovision fan base are looking for the clear dud. And this is the clear dud, I think this is possibly going to come, I think it's between this and Iceland about whether they come last in semifinal one. Maybe last overall, I don't know. But people are really, really not vibing with this. I think it's, to compare it to Iceland, I think it's a bit more interesting than Iceland. Iceland just seems dated and very out of time. This one just is just not, it's like a good idea, maybe just not executed the best kind of thing. It's Yeah, so not really much more I can say about that, but unfortunately I'm also have to go to now a country that I am not going to say an awful lot about, which is Azerbaijan. This is okay, that's it. I'm not really gonna talk about it. It's Fari Fit Ilkin Dovlatov with their song. Oh, I can't pronounce this. Uzlune Ozunle Apar. Gonna guess that's it. This is one of the songs that we're not including in the Eurovision boycott, because it looks like Azerbaijan is going to launch an invasion against Armenia after horrible actions in Nagorno-Karabakh. You can listen to our episodes about that. And also, very important, that why we've also added Azerbaijan to this kind of like boycott understanding of the Eurovision is that, like Israel, this is the international event in which they get the most attention and do a lot of like laundering, like a lot of, I guess the collective term would be art washing, right? You know, making Azerbaijan kind of seem like a normal place via this event. This won't be a going concern because it's not looking likely this song is going to qualify. It is kind of miraculous that Azerbaijan is still in the competition and didn't get like given the kind of like 3-year ban that Belarus got given. So because like they kept bribing people and they were doing a lot of weird vote rigging stuff, but yeah. Not really going to say much more than that. Next we have Australia with let's see if I get this, Electric Fields, One Mikale. There you go. That's the song. I think it's an interesting song, but like I it's not making it through, I don't think. I'd be surprised if it did. It's a shame. It is interesting because like the song means one blood, and it is definitely, it's using an indigenous Australian word that I, from an indigenous language that I have forgotten the name of, but it's an incredibly rare language. One of the participants of this duo can speak the language. It's super fascinating in a lot of ways, but it's just not got it, you know. Because yeah, I don't think it has what it takes to really make it to the final over the other songs. So, I mean, if it made it to the final over Poland, for example, I wouldn't be shedding any tears. I think this is one of the better songs. This and Slovenia are probably one of the better songs of one of the better songs that I don't think are going to make it through. So, yeah. Then, next in the evening, we have Portugal with the artist Iolanda, possibly, with the song Grito. Yeah, this is probably the big kind of competitor for, you know, the kind of like strong, powerful ballad attention with Serbia in this competition. I think there's a good chance that both of these songs can make it in. I think Portugal might be towards the lower end. I'm not entirely certain. I think it might have difficulty getting in. I think it's one of the better songs, though. Like, if Poland makes it in and Portugal doesn't, I'd be very disappointed. But what can you do? Yeah. Which then leads us to the last song of semifinal one, which is from Luxembourg. This is Tally with the song Fighter. All right, so this song is very, very mid for me. I'm aware that they've worked on a revamp. I'm not entirely sure if it's been released yet, because if it has been, it's been done through like official Eurovision channels, which I'm not paying attention to super strongly at the moment. I will investigate, and if Luxembourg is in the final, I will use the revamped version at Eurovision 2024. So this song's very mid. It's very weird. All of it's very stage managed, because Tally is not a musician who makes this kind of stuff. She's more of like a singer, songwriter, soulful kind of thing. She doesn't do the kind of like, how would you describe this, kind of like almost Latin influenced pop banger kind of song. Yeah, so it, and I think that comes across to a lot of people, is very ungenuine. But I don't know, I haven't heard the revamp yet. This one, I don't know. So this is Luxembourg coming back after being gone for exactly 30 years. And the last time they participated was 1974. They have a lot of wins under the belt. They have 5 wins, but they kind of benefited from the same system that Ireland benefited from, which was you're not allowed. Originally, back when the rule was like you had to speak a language indigenous to your country, Ireland got a lot of, racked up a couple of wins because we were allowed to speak English when a lot of countries weren't. And similarly, Luxembourg was able to rack up a couple of wins because Luxembourg speaks a language that is probably like the second most understood in Europe, at least at the time, French. There's bits of French in this song. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm very... yeah, it could go either way. I could see people kind of like bringing this in because people are just kind of excited that like Luxembourg is back or whatever. But I could also imagine this not doing well because it's not a very, very good song. And again, this is one of those ones that like, if this didn't make it through in favor of Slovenia or Australia, I'd be quite happy. But yeah. Also, we're pointing out, since Luxembourg is allowed vote in this semi-final, that's a huge plus to the previous song, Portugal. For anyone who doesn't know, Portuguese people, both from Portugal, or Portuguese-speaking people, both from Portugal and Cape Verde, make up a huge minority within Luxembourg. So they might, as a diaspora, be in favor of this in Portuguese song that's in the competition. So, but other than that, Luxembourg is kind of like an unknown element in the modern competition because they haven't been around for 30 years. So we don't really know how they act. Yeah. So that's semi-final one. And for to kind of sum up, I think the people coming through are definitely Croatia, Ukraine, Lithuania, Finland, with like a kind of soft yes for Cyprus, Serbia, and Ireland, with a kind of like maybe for Poland. Yeah, Poland, Portugal, Slovenia, Australia, and definitely not making it through Azerbaijan, Iceland, and Moldova. It's kind of where I'm thinking at the moment, but we'll see how it changes. It's worth pointing out that I'm recording this after a handful of like Eurovision parties. I believe there was one in Madrid, have happened. So people have seen more of these things on stage. So yeah. Right. And then we get to talk semi-final two. And first in the evening, do I have anything to say about the semi-final two? I should say, okay, so Spain, France, and Italy will all be performing in the semi-final, and they all have the ability to vote in this semi-final. That might benefit some of the countries, it might not. We'll have to see, I guess. But first in the evening's roster is, if I'm not mistaken, is Malta. And this is, let me just find the name again. Yeah, Sara Bonici with the song Loop. Oh my God, you got me on. All right, so this is, it's interesting that both these competitions are opening the same way. I feel like Cyprus's Lyre and Malta's Loop kind of occupy a very similar space. Buckies don't like the odds of this one, but I think it's actually quite a good contender. However, there's a big question mark over this. So one of the recent legacies of Spain of the competition is Chanel's Slow-Mo, which came third in 2022. And what that has really introduced to the competition is the idea of dance breaks. It seems kind of weird to say now because, you know, the all singing, all dancing kind of pop star has been such a big part of pop and music, like you know, what you would call like, you know, stadium kind of like performing musicians, like these big acts. It's been a part of it. So you thought, like, you would think Eurovision has been like attempting it for a while, but actually it was Chanel kind of introducing it into the competition. We've seen a lot of people kind of like mimic that and bring that in. I kind of agree with a handful of other Eurovision commentators that like maybe this shouldn't be a thing because Chanel was very good at it and a lot of other people haven't been or maybe don't have the, you know, credentials to bring a decent entertaining dance break to stage. And for a dance break to be successful, you have to have like a relatively boring part of the song. You heard it there towards the end of the clip, this kind of like more rhythmic a version of one, the like accompaniment that happens during the chorus. That's where the dance break is going to be. I'm also thinking of like, what was her name? Noah Carell's Unicorn also had that, like Israel last year, year before, can't quite remember. So yeah, things like that, and it's, I don't know, man, I think it's a big game, you know, it's big talk, and you have to be able to meet it, and I don't think a lot of people are, and like, it can really fuck with you, because then you're like, afterwards, if you have any of the other, you know, if you have the remainder of the song afterwards, you can get very breathy. Being able to dance in an impressive way and sing at the same time is like a big deal, and a lot of people can't do it. Some people are very good at dancing by itself and some people are very good singing by themselves, but being able to do both is it's big talk. It's real big talk, and I'm not sure everyone can, you know, come to that, like meet that standard, you know. Then we have second in semifinal two is Albania with their song, what is it? It's Bessa, and the song is called Titan. Am I just getting that right? Yeah, B-E-S-A, Bessa, Bessa, and the song is called Titan. There you go. That's it. No, I don't see this happening. So it's worth pointing out with Albania, there is a rest of the world vote where people from outside of Europe can vote. They don't have a jury, but they have a televote, and that's true for semifinals as well as the final itself. This is a relatively new concept. I think it's been around for 3, maybe even only 2 Eurovision so far. And it only, so far, the data seems to indicate that this benefits Albania because this is where a kind of like Kosovar vote, televote goes. So, yeah, that's what's happening there. And that might, even with that, I don't think that's actually going to get them qualified. But it might mean that they do better than maybe like the Czech Republic or Malta, which I think are just better songs than this. It's a bit bland, this one. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of positive things to say, but I'm not finding it. Next we have Marina Sati with her song Zari representing Greece.
Να μη θυμηθώ τις ώρες που κόντευα να τρελαθώ. Άσε να μη θυμηθώ. Δεν πίστευε στο κάρμα του είναι αληθινό.
Okay. I really like this song. I think this is a great contender for like a televote. I think it will do quite well. This is definitely getting through the semifinal. Absolutely no question there, to be honest. I think it's a lot of fun. This is also one of the songs that I'm like, I'm so glad that Eurovision is actually its own thing this year and we get to do music videos, because the music video for this is amazing. To put it in short, it's Marina, I believe her name, yeah, Marina, is basically picks up a tourist to Greece and like takes him on the most chaotic fucking tour of Greece imaginable. Like, there's bits in the music video where she's like drifting in a taxi. I'm really glad that we're watching that and not the actual live performance, because I really don't know how the energy of that music video can be met live. I mean, I'd love to be proven wrong, and maybe one day in a year's time we'll check out the live performance, but I really like this song. I really do. It's just fun. And it's, yeah, yeah. it feels modern, and at the same time, it's including your classical like Greek instruments. Yeah, it's got that sweet and sour kind of like beautiful, breathy, well sung chorus versus the like da 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 da, like the kind of like chorus. Yeah. I like this one. I like this one a lot. I think this is personally going to be in my like top 10 somewhere once I figure out what that is. Next in the evening, we have Switzerland. Nemo's, The Code. I like this one. This one has made it into my rotation. And this is also a major contender. This is, like I said, there's like 4 major contenders this year. This is one of them. For all my love that I gave for Croatia's entry, which I think is probably one of my favorites, this one, the path to victory for this one, I see a bit more clearly, because Rim Tim Taggy Dim might not appeal to jurors the same way that this is. You heard the kind of like operatic singing that, you know, Nemo, that they're capable of. And People were initially very skeptical because this was announced by Switzerland just with a music video, a studio recording music video. And it's pretty cool. Again, one of the songs I'm very glad that we're like having the music videos at Eurovision 2024 this year, because it's a very fun music video, I think. But yeah, Jesus, it's people were skeptical, and then videos started coming out and some live performances started happening where people saw Nemo actually sing these notes, and they're like, oh shit. this person's got pipes, you know. So like, it's pretty, I don't know. I don't know how well people will receive a jury favorite winning out this year again after what happened last year, but it's real good, and I think it's also going to do quite well with the televote. And again, I mentioned this earlier with Bambi Thug, but this is the second, I'm claiming this for Ireland, this is the second participant of Eurovision who is non-binary. And the song, I think, is very explicitly about it. I went to hell and back. I broke the code, I think is basically talking. I don't want to talk at a turn here, but I'm pretty sure it's talking about the gender binary. All in all, I think pretty cool song. It's made it into like my, you know, playlist rotation. So yeah. Next in the evening, we have the Czech Republic, Czechia, with Aiko, with the song Pedestal. I like this song. I kind of like this song personally. This is one of those ones where like I think this is a pretty cool song myself, in a kind of outside of Eurovision way, and I don't think that means it's going to do well. Czechia is very interesting in Eurovision because they kind of want to pretend, or like the national broadcaster kind of wants to pretend it doesn't have any money and doesn't give this the attention it deserves, but there's clearly a lot of like very interesting and very cool Czech musicians who are coming in being like, we would like you to take this seriously, and that are making pretty interesting songs. Last year, My Sister's Crown, they did quite well. The year before that, there was like the national selection process has been kind of weird. They try to move it to be like completely all online. This year they moved it to like a smaller venue, so like the live performance we have of this is really awkward looking, to say the least, because it's on such a small stage. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's not going to do well. I'm putting this on a soft not qualifying myself. Greece and Switzerland definitely are, if I didn't mention it, but like Czech Republic, soft non-qualifying. And I might have only done that because I wanted to qualify. But maybe I'm not facing facts that it just, you know, won't. But yeah. Next in the running order, we have Killeen, We Will Rave, which is representing Austria this year. This is definitely qualifying. I think this is very fun. I like it. I think this is probably... So I talked about Windows 95 Man having this kind of like... what you would call it? Eurodance sensibilities to it. I think this also has that, but maybe in a it feels like a bit more of a modern, and also maybe like a bit more like self-serious. Self-serious is the wrong word, maybe, like, but like in a more respectful way. Like, this definitely kind of seems like a song that is like a Eurodance song made by someone who really wants to and respects and loves Eurodance, and wants to do it in like a kind of like take Eurodance seriously kind of way. Obviously, like, I feel like Windows 95 Man is kind of using elements of Eurodance to kind of like emphasize a joke, whereas this just feels like it would be a good Eurodance song to dance to. I like it a lot. I think it will do decently well, especially with like Televote. We haven't seen anything live of it yet, I don't think. It is, music video is, again, another one I'm happy to have music videos for Eurovision. Horny as shit imaginable. God damn, it is so fucking horny. And you know, I appreciate that. It's an aspect of this, you know, competition that needs to be emphasized. Anyway, next in the lineup, we have Denmark with Saba with the song Sand. There you go. that's enough of that. This is not qualifying. And out of the songs not qualifying from semifinal two, this is one of the ones that I don't think I will miss. So we're pointing out that like people have this idea of like the Nordics or Scandinavia as being quite good at this competition, but like Denmark is definitely of the like Scandinavian Nordic powerhouse. Denmark is the bastard child of that. They haven't been very good at this competition for a while. And this is very plain. This is a bit dull. I'm not really impressed. I think rhyming sand and hand should just immediately get you disqualified. but yeah, and it's not great because like Norway, Sweden, and Finland, we've gotten to Finland, but like the quality of all of these guys have been pretty good, especially this year. So like, yeah, no, it's unfortunate. This is, I don't think this is going to qualify. The bookies have it straddling the odds, and I think that would be so unfair. That would be like considering some of the songs that like the bookies think is going to make it through versus some of the songs they don't think is going to make it through. If this song makes it through and like something like Malta's doesn't, or Czechia, even actually Czech Republic is also another one that I quite like. Yeah, this will be a disappointing shock qualification, I guess. But like, but based on the bookies, based on Kieran Instinct, no, not making it through. I don't think highly of you. Then next in the lineup and closing out the first half of semifinal one is Armenia. This is oh my goodness, let me see if I can do this. Where have you gone, Armenia? This is the song Jacko by a group called Ladaniva. Let's give it a listen. This is, I like this song a lot. It's definitely going to qualify. I think it's definitely going to qualify. It's a lot of fun. The music video, again, another one I'm happy to have music video rather than live performance. is very fun. It makes it look like being Armenian is the funnest thing in the world. You know, contrary to everything an Armenian in 2024 will tell you. I really like it. It's just fun. It's just really fun. I think fun is a huge quality of like a good Eurovision song. Something I prize because I'm not a huge fan of like the slower or the epic ballads. This is fun is so fucking important to me. Oh man. Then we have after that, opening the second half, we have Latvia with the song Hollow by Dawns. So, should clarify, this is Don's, like, you know, the head of a mafia, D-O-N-S, not, like, the Breaking Dawn. I think it's a pretty good song. I think it's also, like, the only song that kind of, like, occupies this powerful male slow song kind of, like, epic thing. Like, we usually get that from, like, Semifinal 1. We have two, like, female, like, equivalents of this with, like, Serbia and Portugal, but this is occupying a very specific space that I'm not really seeing elsewhere in this semi-final. So I've put this as like a soft not qualifying, because I think it's quite good, you know, to be perfectly honest. I think it's very good. It has a little bit of like We Have Hosier at Home kind of vibe to it, Take Me to Church type of stuff. But other than that, like it's a sound that, okay, it's not uncommon at Eurovision, but it is certainly uncommon this semi-final. I'm glancing over the full list of the semi-final and I don't see anything that occupies a similar kind of space. So I would maybe say this is like a shock, like an upset qualification. I could say this. I think so. Oy. Next, we have San Marino with Megara and her song 1111. I don't know what really to say about this. I'm really not feeling it. It's like pretty much the only like kind of straight rock that we have this year. It's like rock elements to like Czech's entry. There's metal elements to the Croatian entry. But like the Czech entry also feels very home with like some female pop stars at the moment, struggling to think of the name. Hopefully some of our guests will be able to kind of like point that out a bit better. But yeah, just not feeling it. I also think the live performance is not really up to stuff, like not up to snuff, because like, I don't think this is going to qualify and I'm not going to feel any feelings about it if it doesn't. I think it would be very fair for this not to qualify, but like, yeah, you know, something had to not qualify, you know. It's like there's 16 in the semifinal and six of them can't make it through. It sucks. You're more likely to win than lose, but someone's gotten to not qualify, and I think it's them. Next in the list, we have Georgia with Nutsa Buzlad. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's a Georgian name. Oh, give me a second. Nutsa, okay. Buzaladze. The song Firefighter. That's an English word. I can say that. Okay, another girly bop, another like dance break. It's I like it well enough. Probably not going to make it into my top 10, but personally, I'm putting this as a soft qualify. I think this will be straddling the line. I think it will just make it in. if it qualifies, I think it would have come 10th or 9th or something like that. And if it doesn't qualify, it's going to be like 11th or 12th. It'll be like quite close to not qualifying. Not much more to say about it. It's fun. I could see myself like dancing to it. That's about it, really. Next, we have probably one of the first songs that people were hyped for this season, which was Belgium. The artist is called Musti. And the song is called Before the Party's Over. Yeah, okay, listening to this again, I actually now see where the competition for Latvia getting in is coming from. Because this is one of the songs that I'm putting up there as like definitely qualifying. This was released relatively, I would say like halfway through the Eurovision season this year, and people were really into it. I believe there were points where it occupied like first place with the bookies. But you know, what do I know? It's a definite qualification. In terms of the final, I would not be surprised if it comes within the top 10 at all. I think it's a major contender. Mainly because I see that like it appealing to both audience and juries. He's a very handsome man in the video. He's topless and he's writhing on the floor. I don't know if he will be at the live stage show, but you know, I can see it appealing to both the fuckable and the grandson wing of this, you know. So it's a big contender, I think, but not one of the four favorites that I've mentioned so far. So then next in the evening, we have Estonia, which I am trying to find. Yes. Which is the artists? It's two artists, Five Minust and Pulup, with Pulup, with the song, oh Jesus, Nendest Narkutikumidest Ete Mi Kul Midagi. Fuck. There you go. It's the best I can do, man. It's Estonian. They've got a vowel harmony. I don't know. All right, so I have to explain a little bit of this. 5 Minust, or however you say it, is an Estonian rap group, the duo, I believe. And then Pulup is a traditional traditional Estonian musician, like a trad music act from Estonia. They kind of came together to make this song, and it became like such a blowaway hit in Estonia's national selection process that they, I believe, are now making an album together because people have just really vibed with this rap and trad music combination in the country so much. So yeah, they're going to be successful out of that. This is a very fun song for me. I really like this. I think it'll be in my personal top 10. I think there's a real contender there. And it's just a lot of fun. And the, what is it, Eesti Laul is the name of the national selection. Stage is a lot smaller, and the staging they had planned for that is quite awkward. They're taking advantage of the only 6 people are allowed on stage. They have 6 people on stage, and they are going to probably bring that to Malmo and try to do something a bit bigger. I think this will be another televote success. And the trad elements might appeal to the jury, but it's hard to tell. This is one of the ones that I'm like, yeah, definitely, definitely qualifying. Next, we have the, the elephant in the goddamn room, Aidan Gillan, Hurricane, formerly October Rain, by Israel. Here's a little bit of that. Okay, that's enough of that. Yeah, we will not be doing... If this qualifies, they're not going to be a part of Eurovision. This is the reason the boycott is happening. Fuck this. All I'm going to say at the moment is I think it's incredibly mid. I think the song is very, very boring. It's rushed. We know from the process of how the song was made that it was rushed. Because it used to be October Rain and then it was reworded. The music video was definitely shot while like it was still October Rain. There is no like close-ups of Aidan Gillan's lips because she's definitely saying different lyrics in the footage. Whole thing's fucking messed up, man. My only theory at the moment is that the bookies have this kind of handily qualifying, right? The bookies currently have it ranked as like 7th best song in semi-final 2. And they also, I believe, in the overall finals, have this within the top 10, 9th place. I don't buy it, man. Look, we saw, look, all I'll say about this is that we saw the Israeli state and Israeli social media really, really put a lot of emphasis and importance behind this song, in the sense that we saw like campaigns within Iceland by people fairly senior in the Israeli national broadcaster saying like, we need to vote for Hera Bjork, or like encourage people to vote for Hera Bjork over the Wild West by Bashar. And so like, we know they're willing to influence things. We also know that any website, any fan website like EurovisionWorld.com or WeeWeeBlogs that ran polls about like, oh, which song do you think should win the Icelandic National Selections Contest and which song do you think should win Eurovision? There has definitely been like thumbs put on the scales of those kind of votes where like every kind of objective measure was saying that like the most popular song and the most within the national final in Iceland was Wild West, and it was like doing really well, and all these blogs kind of had like, oh, it's kind of come fourth, like with the, based on this poll we did of our audience. There's a lot of like fuckery going on here, and I kind of think that the vote, the odds, the bookie odds, because these are influenced by how many people are betting on it, I think has been unduly influenced by possibly some fan campaigns happening within Israel, possibly some Israelis feeling particularly patriotic at the moment. or pro-Israeli people, I should also say. So I don't buy it, man. I really don't. Televote only, with a televote only population, a televote only like semi-final, where as far as I can tell from every country surveyed, most people think what Israel is in, like in Europe, most countries seem to think what Israel is doing is fucked up based on like polling conducted within those countries when available. Italy, for example, is one of the countries that can vote in this semi-final, and Italy has like one of the highest supports in the EU amongst the population for things like ceasefire and like Israel has gone too far. Spain as well is also another country that has very high public approval ratings for like Israel needs to stop, says ceasefire, blah blah blah. I think people are going to view this song as incredibly callous and tone deaf, so I'm very skeptical that in a semi-final where there is only televote that this will make it through. I've put it in my own assessment as a soft qualify. I wouldn't be surprised if it does, but like I don't think I think it would be, if it does qualify, I think it'll be close. I think it'll be really fucking close. Anyway, enough of that. We get to talk about a song that I think is actually a bit more interesting, which is Norway's entry this year, the band Gete. there's a circle, there's a ring over the A, so I don't really know what that's doing. Ulvaham, and let's listen to that. This song is probably the closest we get to straight metal this year. It's a bit more symphonic kind of metal. There's these kind of Norwegian folktale influences happening here. The singer has also got this incredibly powerful vocals. There's been videos released. Obviously, like what you just listened to there was from Melodi Grand Prix, which is their like very thorough national selection process in Norway, where she's got her like mic. Like her microphone's like 11 feet away from her fucking voice. Very, 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 very impressive stuff. We're pointing out. Okay, so also get this out of the way. Definite qualification. This is one of the songs that I've seen probably like some of the strongest online enthusiasm for. I know people who have this as their personal favorite. I think it'll be top 10. I think it will do very well on the whole competition, but I don't really see its path to victory just yet. This brings up an interesting conversation about language, actually, because we talk about this all the time with Eurovision about people wanting, you know, more countries to do things not in English, and about how like pop music and commercial music really necessitates things to be English. But it's really interesting to talk about who is actually the big contenders of that. This year and in a handful of years, we've actually seen like places you wouldn't expect to be good in the language. The Baltics are usually quite good about like sending their own language and have gotten better. Estonia's entry is in Estonian. Lithuania's entry is in Lithuanian. Latvian's entry is in English. Both Slovenia and Serbia are also sending songs in their respective languages. So, like, that's pretty interesting. And it wasn't until I, like, looked back at the numbers that I realized, actually, it's the Nordics who are the fucking worst for this. This song is in Norwegian, and it is, I believe, within the last 18 years of the competition, this is the second time Norway has sent something in Norwegian. And it's worth pointing out that Sweden often sends stuff in English. Denmark sends stuff that's in English. Finland often sends stuff that's in English. Less often, actually, than... less often than the others. Iceland is also quite notorious for this. So, yeah. But yeah, just something to think about. Like, that's, you know, it's good. I think, well, I'm actually, personally, I'm quite agnostic about the question of it, but like, Norway's song really suits being in Norwegian this year, for sure. So, yeah, good on them. And closing out the evening, we have the Netherlands with Europapa. That's the clip I have for the song. It's probably an unfair representation of it. This song is probably one of the four contenders this year. I've mentioned the other two, which is Switzerland and Croatia. This is another televote contender with Europapa or Europapa. This meets the criteria of what I liked about like Edgar Allan Poe by Tay and Selena from last year, I guess, which is song that seems like a joke, but is actually about something real. The song is by Joost Klein, who is kind of a Dutch rapper / gabber musician. There is a part in the song where like, you know, goes, "Welcome in Europa, jonga," like welcome to Europe, boy. And then just goes into a gabber breakdown. And the music video has like a bunch of gabber musicians just kind of making a cameo. It's really fun. And I think like the Netherlands sending gabber is also like good. Like the Netherlands has like the strong association with gabber as a genre. The song is about the fact that like Joost's parents died when he was 12. His dad died of a heart attack, and then a year later his mom died of cancer. And then was raised the rest of his life by his like older siblings who were like, you know, legally able to adopt him basically. And I've been told that his music is quite like this, where this like mix of like overly like very rambunctious, very like kind of like the music and everything about the aesthetic of the music is kind of telling you like it's feel good, it's party time, it's high energy, but the lyrics is just like, fuck, I missed another appointment with my therapist today, oh well, time to party, kind of like this kind of what might feel like the kind of lyrics that might feel a bit home at like in something more akin to like hyper pop, of this like overly online mental health not well, but you know, kind of keep soldiering on anyway. And music video and the man himself seems to have a lot of humor. He's brought like great aesthetics to it. I love the kind of like Euro politician suit he's wearing in the video with the like giant exaggerated shoulder pads. That's a wonderful set piece. And yeah, sorry, just getting into some of the lyrics. It's like talking about things of like I can, you know, I have nothing but time, I can travel the world, but all I want is you. And it's clearly about both of his parents, more expressly his dad. And my understanding is his dad always wanted to travel the world, but they grew up quite poor. And now that he's like kind of this carefree young adult, he can finally do that, particularly around Europe. He talks about like, you know, ich bin in Deutschland, aber ich bin so allein. I am Germany, but I am so alone. And there's like a line afterwards that's partly in Italian, like I'm in Italy, but I'm still alone. All this very kind of like, yeah, interesting message. It ends with like a bit more of a like piano solo and gets really at the heart of what he's talking about, which doesn't exist in the studio track if you listen to it on Spotify, but does exist in the music video if you listen at the you know, YouTube mirror link that I've linked in the description, that's in the document. Yeah, I like this is contender for like my personal number one, I think. I also enjoy that I think people have this gut reaction of this like being a pro EU song when it doesn't really seem to be that. Like it's kind of more of like a born in the USA, like he generally talks about like the time like him having to pretend he has money and he can't really go to France, which like from the Netherlands is actually a relatively cheap thing to do. So there is this kind of like maybe something that maybe people in the Netherlands are more aware of, you know, with, you know, the country in which Volt is a successful party or more successful than other places, of like, Europe is great to travel around, but it's very much like, if you're a certain class and have a certain amount of wealth, you're capable of doing that. For the rest of us, we tend to be stuck in our own, tend to be stuck where we live, you know? Yeah. And that ends semi-final two. And what can I say? Good competition so far, and I'm gonna do my best. This episode's running long. I'm sorry, gang, but it's important. I think no, it isn't. It's not important at all. Anyway, to wrap up what I think about semi-final two, Albania, Denmark, San Marino are for me my definite not qualifyings. Czech Republic and Latvia are my like soft not qualifyings. Malta, Georgia, and Israel are my soft R qualifyings. Greece, Switzerland, Austria, Armenia, Belgium, Estonia, Norway, and the Netherlands are my definitely going to qualify songs. So, then we get into the big six, what Nick has referred to as the Eurovision Security Council, plus Sweden, who is the host country, and good enough place to start. Let's get Sweden with their Norwegian twins, Marcus and Martinus, with the song Unforgettable. Any minute now, internet. Not going to lie, I think the song will do quite well. It won't win, which is probably for the best, because you don't really want to win when you won the previous year. That's when you start losing money on Eurovision. This song has made it into like my rotation. It very much reminds me of like the kind of mid-2000s, I want to say like 2005 to like 2007, the kind of like everyone really gets back into like Daft Punk style French house. Like I remember like things like Justice and Danger being like these musicians or like these bands, these like electronic acts that were kind of like becoming big again. And this kind of reminds me of that kind of stuff. Pretty competent, nothing to write home about. I think it will do well. Yeah. Next we have, where is it gone? We have Italy with Angelina Mango with the song La Noia. Allora scrivi canzoni, sì le canzoni d'amore, e non ti voglio annoiare, ma qualcuno le deve cantare. So within the big five, the ones that automatically make it to the final, I would separate them into I would basically say that Italy is the best performing one. They are the inventors basically of Eurovision. For anyone who doesn't know, their national selection process is a song competition in their own right called Sanremo, because it is held in the city of Sanremo. I think the full title is like Sanremo Song Festival. It predates Eurovision by like 4 years or so, and it is the model in which the Eurovision is based off of. And they have a reputation as being quite good to kind of like back up the title already of originators of Eurovision. So and I think this is good. This is the last of the four major contenders. One of the things that could happen this year is that has happened before, which is there is a televote favorite, there is a jury favorite, and the song that ends up actually winning is some sort of a song that is liked by both, basically. A kind of like an appeasement song. This usually happens because like it's the jury favorite and the televo favorite are so polarizing. I could see that happening with things like Rim Tum Taggy Dim or Europampa not being successful enough with the jury, but being quite popular with people at home, versus something like Switzerland being very popular with the jury and maybe not hitting home with the televote as much. And then this song kind of like maybe being like second or third with both and gathering enough points from either of them to be this like compromise victory candidate. This has happened within the last 10, 12 years. This has happened twice. So yeah, it can happen. I think that is a real possibility for Italy. We've seen live performances of it. It's good. The structure of the song is a pop song that has, you know, like your verse, chorus, verse, breakdown, chorus, chorus kind of thing. It's very, the format of the song is not very predictable, but they build the song in a nice way that makes it still interesting to listen to. I think it's, yeah, this is my fourth contender. Italy is the big one of the big five. And now we're going to get to what I would call mid with the big five, which is France with the musician Slimane with the song Mon Amour. What I mean by mid, okay, so I should probably be very clear here. So I think with Eurovision, there are things, it's very hard to be predictable with Eurovision. It's very hard, or consistent, to be consistent. The being a country that is consistent is quite rare, whether that is consistently good or consistently bad. I would think Sweden, even though I don't personally like a lot of their output, is consistently good. Like, they make stuff that does well and appeals to a lot of people. It's very polished and safe pop, which I don't really like, but is consistently good. Finland is quite consistent as well. Another place that's quite consistent would be Ukraine. Ukraine is quite consistent. Moldova is also quite consistent. This year is a bit of an outlier for Moldova. They're usually got consistently high quality. And then, like, consistently bad countries, I would say, is, like, Ireland, for example. Ireland, in the modern competition, has been consistently bad. Most countries, I think, occupy a space of, like, it could go either way. This year they have a banger. Next year they have a complete fucking dud. This year they were, like, number three, and then next year they don't even qualify, kind of thing. Like, that, I think, is most countries. In the top five, that's France. France is a bit all over the place. And they've done quite well in recent years doing this kind of like chanson, you know, movie soundtrack kind of thing. The like sleek, sexy, évidemment, mon amour kind of songs. Always in French, obviously. You could not convince the French to... Anyway. What do we say about this? All I know about this is that Slimane is someone who has done well in a French reality singing competition, and off the back of it has released four albums. Three of them have reached number one in French charts, and the other, like, I think number two or number three. He's very successful and very liked within France, within a certain, you know, population, people who like pop music and stuff like that. I think it's kind of understood within the Eurovision circles that he has been selected this year to try and improve the ratings of Eurovision within France, which have been on a downward trend. So yeah, he's not really meant to win. I think he will do quite well, especially with the jury. I don't know what the bookies actually make of him at the moment. I think things, now that all the songs are out, things have gotten a little bit competitive, but, oh, okay, no, sixth place. Fair enough. I well deserved, I think. I don't think that's terrible. That gets us to our next member of the Big Five, Spain. The artist is called Nebulosa with the song Zora. It's two R's. I can't pronounce that. You know what 2 hours do in Spanish. Imagine that. Imagine I said that correctly. Zora. Zora. I sound like a fucking pigeon. God damn it. Solo era cuestión de tiempo. Voy a salir a la calle a gritar lo que siento a los cuatro vientos. I like this song. Unfortunately, because it's Spain, I think there's a real chance that this could not do well in terms of raw score. Because it's the curse of being a country that automatically goes to the final. But I think I like it. I want to hold out hope. I want to say it will do quite well. Oh man, bookies have it as like the 23rd favorite overall, which... in a competition where like there will only be 26 songs in the final, that's not great. I like it. I think it's great. I think I've seen people respond to this song really well, like people in the crowd just chanting Zora, Zora, Zora in like a positive way. Because for anyone who doesn't know, or anyone who doesn't speak Spanish, Zora is the word for slut. The song is basically about like, as a woman, you can't really do anything without being called a slut. It is related, for those at home, it is related to the word Zorro, which is the word for fox, and Zora is technically the word for vixen, like female fox, but like has the slang meaning. I like it. I like the style of music. I like the kind of like soft. I really like that. I think it rebuilds really nicely. I like the kind of like 80s synth pop thing. There's references to like Throw the Glass, which I believe is like a kind of like feminist moment within Spanish cultural history that I would need to have explained to me. I've seen it, but you know, I'm not fully aware of the whole context there, but you know, it is what it is. I like it quite a lot. I think it'll be a shame if it doesn't do, you know, well in the actual competition due to circumstances of how it operates as a song, but you know, here we are. Next, we have the UK sending Ollie Alexander with the song Dizzy. Won't you make me dizzy? Kisses, will you take my hand and spin me round and round till the moment never ends? Make me dizzy. Kisses, will you take my hand and spin me? Take me back to the beginning again. So I'm personally like, this is quite mid. I'm not hugely vibing with this song. It's said to do quite well, though. Currently 10th favorite with the bookies overall. I know a lot of people who quite like this. I've seen some Eurovision real heads kind of be like, eh. The song was released quite late, and usually the idea behind releasing a song quite late is you kind of like take a look at the lay of the land and see what other people are doing, and then send something that can meet that, and people felt kind of like underwhelmed by this. But going to that consistency point again, within the big five, the automatically five qualifying countries, consistently looking at the historical record, Spain and the UK have been consistently bad. However, for both countries, in around the same time as well, they've really started to take this shit seriously again, put some more effort in, blah, blah, blah. Like, in 2022, Spain sent Slow Mo by Chanel. It was the first time they'd come top five in, like, fucking 25 years or something. People felt really, like, emboldened by that. It was a very good song. And then next year they sent Aiea by Blanca, which I personally think was a very, very good song that was robbed with the juries. I feel like the juries are not voting for this. It's like, what the fuck are you voting? Why are you here? But like, I thought it was a great song. I think Spain should be very proud of that. Similarly, the UK has started feeling themselves with the success of Spaceman, which came second in 2022 and is why they hosted last year, because Ukraine won and that was they couldn't host it. And then last year they sent Mae Muller's I Wrote a Song, which by all accounts was a successful song. People really liked it. It got a lot of radio play and like Steam downloads, blah, blah, blah. And she fucked up singing some of the notes live, and she blames herself for that. I personally missed that on the night, and I'm usually very bad at recognizing when people don't hit notes unless it's like really egregious. But both Spain and the UK basically are on the up, and Ollie Alexander, if you don't know who he is a household name, is like popular in his own right. He is a current successful musician. Some of his big hits you probably have heard before. I'm not sure if he's broken the US, but it's worth pointing out that Dizzy by Ollie Alexander, I've heard from people whom I know living in the UK, this is getting radio play. This is showing up at like parties and in people's playlists and recommended lists, blah, 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 for like people who are not into Eurovision, which is unheard of for the UK's relationship to Eurovision. It's kind of like trivial that basically everything that ends up in like UMK in Finland does well within the Finnish charts. Like, they take it very seriously. But the UK kind of like keeps it detached from its like pop music top 40 charts. This is, yeah, so like this kind of showing up on people's radars and getting radio airplay in like a non like, hey, this is the Eurovision song this year in the UK is huge. So baby steps, but I think the UK and Spain are starting to get better, which then leaves us with the only country in the Big Five who has historically been consistently bad, and unlike the other two that have been consistently bad, doesn't seem to be changing. And that is Germany. This is Isaac with, what is the name of the song? Always on the Run. I can break out when I'm free, lost in my own identity. I'm on the run, 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 run. I'm always on the run. Sorry, I'll play a little bit more. You need to get what it's like outside of the chorus. From the silence, screaming for guidance. Who am I fighting for? Yeah, I mean, it's very tame. And like all the songs that were in, what is it, Lied für Europa, the kind of like national selection thing they did here, were very tame. I heard one person describe it like the Catholic Church basically gets to pick the songs. There's not like a lot of genre diversity. It's not very good. There was a song that was circulating around called Ich Kündige, which came out by Großstadtflüstern, I believe is the name of the band. Big City Whispers is what it translates as. And they, everyone really liked that song. Everyone was like rumor, and like there was TikTok trends going, oh my God, is this Germany song for Eurovision? Because it kind of like met the timeline. And there was like a campaign, like people were like, people who didn't know how Eurovision worked were like, oh cool, maybe this is the song. And people who did know how it worked were like, let's make a campaign to make this the song. Because it is a really good song. I recommend it. Ich Kündige, it means I quit. Wonderful, wonderful German song, and would be a great Eurovision song. Like Germany is capable of doing the music. They can do the music, but like it doesn't happen with the Eurovision. And this song, Isaac's song, with its weird elephant noise that it has. Hang on, I'm gonna see if I can get that elephant noise again that happens in like the chorus. Let's see if you can hear it. Hang on. I'm always on the run. Just after he finishes his like chorus line, it sounds like a fucking elephant to me. Hang on, you're gonna hear it again. Sorry. It's a fucking elephant. Anyway, last place. Probably not the worst song of the whole competition, but it will be the worst song in the final. So it's going to come last on the night. Shame to say. But yeah, that has been my incredibly, incredibly, incredibly long pre-game analysis for Eurovision. I hope that has been instructive. I hope you can enjoy this boycott-friendly way to live vicariously through the Eurovision. Reminder, only Mr. God knows, message 2024, do not watch the Eurovision. Don't do it. I got all these clips in a nice way that may make sure that Mr. Eurovision fucking over there in Sweden doesn't get any money. So, yeah. And just a reminder again, boycott-friendly Eurovision show, Eurovision 2024, happening live in Berlin, if you want to come live, but also live on twitch.tv/CornishBaity. All money raised goes to Medical Aid Palestine. If you're watching on the stream, we will just encourage you to donate to Medical Aid Palestine. Just, you know, do it, because come on, man. If you haven't listened to episode zero, I'll put a lot of effort into that as well. Please go and listen to that. And we are going to have like a Eurovision Council again return. I've already recorded episode two and it will be out pretty shortly. You can listen to that soon, hopefully. And yeah, with that, I will see you. Well, only Mr. God knows.